Good afternoon, everybody. I'm sorry, I was told to start with a joke. This is not a joke. This is the monthly meeting in September of the Citizens Finance Advisory Committee, and we are at Veterans Memorial Hall in Morro Bay. We have a quorum of six members present, Lois Baldy with an excused absence, so we will quickly have a moment of silence. And let's rise for the pledge, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, do we have any committee member announcements? I'll start with Bill. Thank you. Homer? John?
Nope.
Actually, I'd like to thank the Morro Bay and Bloom organization. I saw the email that went out from Mr. Heath and all the good things they've been doing for the city, so I think that's a very welcome addition and participation. Citizen participation in beautifying our city. So thank you, Mr. Heath, for that. Mr. Walter Heath is a former member of the Citizens Finance Advisory Committee. So thank you, Walter. Public comment period, open it up for anything not on the agenda or on the agenda for which you cannot stay. Seeing none, close public comment. And we will go to the consent calendar, item A1, which is approval of minutes for the September 17th CFAC meeting. That was in our agenda packet. Did anybody have any questions, updates, comments to those minutes? Okay, can I have a motion to approve the minutes as submitted in the agenda?
I move the approve the minutes as submitted in the agenda.
Thank you, Bill. Second, please.
I'll second.
Thank you, Dave. So that was a motion by Bill Bowes, second by Dave Batant. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? None. Motion carries 6-0. Okay. All right. Let us proceed immediately then to item B1, which is a brief finance update, as well as we will discuss the budget in brief. But initially, Jennifer, would you like to summarize or go over, give us a budget update, please?
Sure. Let's see. We have a lot going on in finance right now. In about a week and a half, our auditors are going to be on site for year-end. So we're rapidly trying to wrap up all of the schedules and work papers for their arrival. In addition to that, we're closing out the first quarter of 1920, and this is the time of the year that we start working in three fiscal years, because we'll be looking at budget soon, too, for 2021. So we have to be very careful about which year we're speaking to at this point. Also, you have the budget brief in front of you. This was in August. It provided some recommendations for changes. I think I've captured all of those and incorporated them on this document, and I had committed to bringing it to you as a distribution item at the next meeting. And then before we have, if there's any comments on that, that's fine. But also this week we received our final S&P indicative rating related to the wharf, and we received an A rating with stable outlook. So I just wanted to share that. It came in yesterday, so that's kind of breaking news for the city.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, Jennifer, did you get an opportunity to put this on the website, the budget, or were you waiting for our comments today? Any further final comments?
I did send it over. Janine is our website expert, and I had asked her to put it on there, but I'm not sure she's gotten to it yet.
Okay.
But I'll follow up with her tomorrow, and if there's any changes, we'll make sure to get those done
okay.
in there, too.
And all members may remember we did discuss this a couple meetings ago, and we decided Homer's suggestion to change the enterprise funds in the reporting. It's take out a lot of information, make it a little more summary. So I think that's very good. So comments, please.
Well, I just have a question.
Did anybody have a chance to send this out to a printer to see how much it would cost to print 5,000 copies, 5,500 copies?
I did not, and you did ask for that. I can try to get an estimate and email the committee.
I don't know whether the city council would feel this is important, but if it could get stuffed into a water bill, it might be of some interest to some members of the community.
Okay, thank you for that, Homer. Maybe we'll get that next time. And it'd be interesting, Jennifer, if you get any other feedback once it gets on the website again and in the lobby and that, let us know so it help us in our decision once we find out what the cost is. Any other comments, or is everybody okay with it as it is? Or?
No, I think it looks very good.
Thank you, Bill.
I agree. It looks good.
Good. John? Bart, are you okay?
It looks good. My suggestion, rather than 5,500, is just if they're available at council meetings in the back, because that you're talking about people who are very interested.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If by definition they show up, versus bills that typically people go and find their bill, or in my case, I get an electronic one, so mm-hmm. I'm not looking. But I think in the back would be great.
Good idea. Maybe we can do that.
We can
start with 100 and see how many are left in the pile after 300 people pile into the room. And
absolutely. We can certainly put them in the city facilities and bring them to the meetings.
Okay. That would tell us. All right. Thank you all. This has been a long process, so thank you all of you for your participation. We've been working on this for a couple of years, and we still, based on feedback from the public, are very interested. We may still make some changes, adjustments, but as it is right now, I think this is really good to go. There's a lot of good detail here, and we try to focus on the general fund and then summarize the enterprise funds. So thank you all. All right. Moving right along, that brings us to item B2 and item, excuse me, before I go to that, we had discussed last time, Jennifer, about the Measure Q. I guess we didn't have any information ready for today's meeting. We'll hit that next time, right?
Yeah, I had mentioned that we might be able to have that ready with getting prepared for audit. We didn't have capacity. It was discussed for the first time, I think, in November last year as well.
Okay.
So we're kind of tracking along that path. But you will definitely have it in November along with first quarter.
Okay, that's perfect. Good. All right, now we can move on to item B2. Open it up for public comment. Any public comment on item B2? Seeing none, thank you. I will turn it over to, I believe, Mr. Eric Casares. You ready? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Members of CFAC, Eric Casares, the WRF program manager. We're just pulling up the presentation on the quarterly report up here shortly, and then I'll get the clicker, and we should be good to go. Thank you for having me here this afternoon to present on item B2, which is a review of the Water Reclamation Facility Capital Project Quarterly Update Report. The recommendation is that you receive the September 2019 a monthly status report representing the end of Q1 of fiscal year 1920 status report for the Water Reclamation Facility and provide your feedback. So I just wanted to kind of reintroduce everybody to the way that these reports are presented to the various organizations within the city as well as the community. So a single report is prepared on a monthly basis for CFAC, WRF, CAC, and City Council. That report is placed on the consent agenda for the City Council on a monthly basis, where we're actually tracking expenditures on a monthly basis, actual expenditures between city costs as well as charges against the open consultant contracts that the city currently has for the WRF, every third month that report is expanded, and it's the quarterly report where we do a budget reconciliation and we relook at all elements of the budget and develop a new budget estimate. And then on an annual basis, we rebaseline the budget, and so we take a look and say, for the upcoming fiscal year, the baseline budget that we're going to be taking a look at and comparing ourselves to is X, and that was done about 3 months ago at the beginning of Q1 19-20. So a couple of highlights on the project status. In terms of a budget standpoint, the project is on budget. The new budget is in line with the original $126 million budget that was developed and used as the basis of the 2018 rate study. But note several major elements of the project are behind schedule, and you'll notice that from the review of the quarterly report, and I'll get into some of those specifics here as we move forward. These are not necessarily new items. These are items that we've been tracking for a good chunk of this year. The overall project is on schedule, so as we track the key milestone for the project is the compliance with the time schedule order that the city received last year from the Regional Water Quality Control Board that requires full secondary treatment by February 28th of 2023. Our substantial completion, which is tied to that TSO compliance date, is currently targeted at December 29th, 2021. So you can see how we compare to that that date in 2023. In terms of budget history, this is a table that you'll find in the quarterly report that summarizes the budget position for the project since the new program manager came on board last year. We have the Q4 FY17-18 budget, again, the basis of the 2018 rate study, the $125.9 million. We had a quarterly reconciliation that was done in Q3 of 18-19, which is about $124.6 million. And then we have a rebaseline budget that was developed about 3 months ago that took us back up to about $126 million, $125.9 million. And then our current quarterly reconciled budget, which is $125.1 million. So the new budget summary, so essentially we were at tracking to right around $126 million about 3 months ago, and now we're down a little bit and looking down at about $125.1 million. Why is that? We have some better numbers on the cost for acquisition of some of the property associated with the project because we have final appraisals that have come through, and so that's allowed us to tighten up our budgetary numbers there. We also have a reduction in the engineer's estimate for the conveyance facilities portion of the project. So the pipelines and pump stations that are currently under design by Waterworks engineers, they recently developed their 60% design submittal, and with that a revised 60% cost estimate. So that's another source of the cost reductions that we're currently tracking. In terms of the recycled water facilities, really minimal changes there in terms of the budget forecast for that component of the project. As you'll remember, that portion of the project is the one that's the least advanced at this point in time. That really consists of the injection wells that will be used to inject the water into the Lower Moro groundwater basin. In terms of general project costs, costs for the program manager and a number of the other technical team members that roll up to the general project line item, there's really minimal changes in terms of the long-term projections in those costs as well. So that's where the source of the cost changes are coming from, really the WRF project itself, but to a larger extent, the conveyance facilities component of the project. Key accomplishments and challenges over the course of over this last quarter. You'll note that a number of these things are really geared towards starting construction of the WRF facility. Again, our target is to start WRF construction of the WRF towards the end of this month, but in terms of some of the accomplishments and challenges, we delivered the draft programmatic agreement to the State Historic Preservation Office several months ago, and we've been actively working with them to finalize that agreement. That's a key item that needs to be completed before the funding agencies can close the books on their environmental process and allow us to start construction. We also delivered draft special conditions for the coastal development permit to coastal staff within the last month. So back in July, the city received a notice of intent for their coastal development permit, which is essentially we're giving you a coastal development permit, but you must meet these special conditions. Four of them need to be met. Number one, two, and six, as well as 13, all need to be met before either the coastal development permit can be issued or construction can begin on any element of the project. So we are well on our way to getting our coastal development permit here in the next couple of weeks. Again, the challenges will be issuing that notice to proceed before late October. We've got some challenges, some recent challenges that we're working through in order to meet that requirement. Also, the conveyance facilities, as we've discussed previous this year, some issues with construction and delay of construction of that component of the project, mainly in the ability to complete the field investigations to advance the design effort. So that's another key challenge, and we're looking for ways to expedite the design schedule for that project. As I note here, one of the things may be the elimination of some of the intermediate design deliverables, but anything we can do to speed that up and get that done as quickly as possible. We're also working on the easements necessary to be able to construct all elements of the pipelines throughout the city. There are some easements that are required from some PG&E and from Vistra and from other folks that we're currently working on at this point in time, but that's something that is demanding a lot of our attention and resources at this time. Again, the recycled water facilities was also significantly delayed due to issues with access, property access issues, and in maintaining the ability to do that hydrogeology work. And again, we're looking for ways to expedite the schedule to get that hydrogeology work done so that we can move forward the design of the injection wells. In terms of our project dashboard, all of these areas are comparing essentially the where we were at the beginning of the fiscal year 3 months ago with where we currently are now. Two things to note that are in yellow are the program manager earned value. So we track earned value on the program manager's scope of work, one being that we are in the green. Anything less than one means that we are not performing to the earned value. We're just shy of one at 0.97. This reflects numbers from August. We don't have updated numbers for September because the invoices haven't been finalized yet. So this is the same number that was reported in the August monthly report. And then in terms of the schedule performance index, as I just went through, while we are looking at meeting the substantial completion date and compliance with the time schedule order, there are elements of the project that are behind schedule. The graph on the screen shows the current versus the planned expenditures. The red dotted line represents the planned expenditures for the project. This cash flow was developed at the beginning of the fiscal year about 3 months ago. And the blue represents the very beginning part of the blue there, where you can see July, August, and September. That's actually not a dotted line, but those are the actuals, and then the dash blue line represents the planned expenditures. And as you'll see, that blue tail there extends past the red. That really represents the schedule changes and really the completion of the injection well. So those diamonds, the red diamond is 3 months ago, where we thought our substantial completion and our time schedule order compliance would be for the project, and the blue is where we're currently tracking. So really no change in that part of it. The one thing that we are looking at is because of the delay in the completion of the hydrogeo work, it's really pushed out the construction of the injection wells. And as I mentioned previously, once we move the WRF into construction, what we're really going to be focusing on is schedule recovery and ways to be able to pull that schedule back and finish that hydrogeo work as fast as we can. The table up on the board shows the actual expenditures to date. The actual expenditures to date is $11.6 million. That's in terms of essentially the non-city costs. These are contractual costs for the completion of different elements of the project is about $11.6 million. The total expenditures when you layer on the city's expenditures, we're talking about city labor overhead and different city cost is about a little over $13 million. This is what's been expended on the project since 2013 when when it was being coded for the WRF project. And that's against the current projected cost or budget of 125.09 or 125.1 million. This shows the schedule overview for the project and splits the project into several major elements. An SPI and a percent complete is provided for each of these elements. When you look at all of these things together and roll them up, again, our SPI, or schedule performance index, is at 0.9, meaning a 1 would mean that we were on schedule for all elements of the project, but we're currently sitting at a 0.9 with an overall program completion percentage of about 62%. One of the new tables that you will notice in the quarterly report, and this is something that I'm sure we'll get into a little bit of discussion here this evening about, is a milestone table, a milestone schedule. So several members of CFAC have been asking about a milestone schedule, and we put something together here, a simple table, which we wanted to include in the report to start the conversation about what that milestone schedule may look like. We want it to be more graphic, or if a simple table would suffice. And so this new milestone schedule is being provided here. As I mentioned, kind of the top milestone at the very top is the TSO compliance. Again, as I mentioned, from a schedule standpoint, we are behind schedule on several elements of the project, and this hasn't been a change as of late. This is something that we've been tracking for a good portion of this year. So for task three, which is the hydrogeological work that we've been doing, part of the hydrogeological work that we have to do is wrapped up in the receipt of the CDP. So as I mentioned, our plan is to have that CDP in hand here in the next couple of weeks, which will allow us to move forward with the additional hydrogeo work, specifically on the west side on the Vistra property. And I can answer questions about that in a little bit more detail if you have questions about that. In terms of task five general permitting, again, the delays in the conveyance facilities design has caused some delays in the permitting for that piece of the work. But based on our current schedule, we have time to submit our stream bed alteration permit application, as well as our Caltrans encroachment permit that we need for the conveyance facilities portion of the project. And then on the potable reuse permitting, really the hydrogeo work is kind of part and parcel to us being able to move forward this element of the program. So as we continue to move forward and complete the hydrogeo work, that'll help us regain some schedule on the potable reuse permitting component. And then funding. We can improve our schedule position in funding in terms of expediting the signing of the Clean Water SRF loan agreement. We're very close to having a signed loan agreement with EPA for the WIFIA program. Again, the recommendation here is that you receive the September 2019 monthly status report for the water reclamation facility and provide any feedback. Any questions?
Thank you, Eric. Okay, so everybody received the report. That was a very good summary. I'll open it up for discussion. Anyone that would like up here like to start the discussion? Go ahead, John, and then Bill.
Yeah, so I have a question for Eric. So, Eric, this report that you provide, it's the same report for WRF CAC and CFAC and the City Council, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So our job as the CFAC is to focus on the financial aspects of this report and not the technical aspects. So I would request that the members of this committee in fact do that and not spend time at this meeting talking about any of the technical aspects of the report.
Okay, thank you, John, for that comment. I would agree. Bill, you were next. Comment?
I'd like to compliment Eric and Jen for this report. I really do like the fact that we do have an expanded milestone schedule. You know, we had asked to see a PDF of the milestone schedule out of Microsoft Project Management, and we need to perhaps talk offline on the best way to look at the full PDF of the Microsoft Project Management Milestone Schedule, which is multiple pages. And is there a way to shorten that, or is this the right answer? I certainly think this is the right answer, and if we could find a way to also look at the more extended one to answer any questions that are not covered here, that would be very useful. Just a couple of questions, maybe. Did we purchase the property as yet? Is that still pending? Can we have a dialogue and get Eric to answer those questions or Rob to answer the questions?
So the city is currently actively in negotiations with.
But we haven't purchased it yet.
The property owner. We have not signed the purchase agreements yet for either the property or the easements that we require adjacent to the property.
Right. So you said in your comments that the CDC would be approved within the next couple of weeks, which then means construction will not start on October 22nd, which is the date that's shown on your milestone chart.
We're still looking at trying to meet the October 22nd date if we can do that.
It's possible. Well, that'd be great. The cash flow chart on here show projected expenditures of $3.4 million in October. I think that's probably not possible since we spent only, according to the chart, $200,000 in September. So either the chart is wrong or we should probably put in invoiced amounts as opposed to actual amounts spent. So I don't quite understand a chart that's so obviously wrong being here.
A couple of things. The blue bars there are the forecasted expenditures. So that at the beginning of the fiscal year, these bars were developed for the forecasted expenditures. So that's what the blue bars represent. The orange bar, which represents the actual expenditures, and it's actually referenced in table, hold on really quickly, table 4 of the report. The spend for September looks artificially low. The reason for that is we don't have, and it really has to do with just the timing of when this report had to be completed. We have not received invoices for either the Corolla program management invoice. The design build team design invoice is not represented here, and the waterworks design team invoice. Those three invoices were not available when this report was finalized, and these numbers were set for the month.
It might seem more useful on this chart. These blue bars should only show what the planned expenditures are, not what the baseline was originally. So at least you see what the costs will be here in the future, and then the line that you draw can certainly show what the actual results are. one of the milestone chart that you put together ends up showing, next to last item shows conveyance pipeline installed.
Bill, which page are you on?
Well, this is the, I guess they call it the stoplight chart, or you call it a milestone water.
It'd be page
project
7.
Project performance measures.
Page 7 of the, table 3 of the report, page 7 of the report.
I think it's a really good chart, you know, but the one item, and I can appreciate the problem, conveyance pipeline installed. Well, since nothing happens until like May of 2020 is when you even award a contract and you'll have significant progress by 21 sometime. But yet conveyance is behind, and it's really important. It may be another way to show some measure of performance of when the contract is going to be out for bid or some other measure there. But it's clearly conveyance pipeline. If that were something being followed, that is not green. You're behind, you know, which this chart gives a miss. If it's just pipeline installed, sure, there's no pipeline planned to be installed until after there gets to be a contract. And a contract won't be awarded until your current chart, I think, says now December of 21, so it's a long ways away. So all in all, though, a nice improved plan of what we had before. And I think I also mentioned on charts 21 and 23, it has a whole bunch of NAs for conveyance facilities and recycle facilities, yet your expanded schedule actually shows dates for when contract will be awarded, et cetera. So I think prior to submitting it to City Council, we should insert the actual dates on those charts.
So for table 20, see, it would be table 21 and table 22 at the top. 23, excuse me, where there's a number of different dates. We've been using those dates to show the actuals, but we can input those milestone dates from the milestone schedule in there and put and denote them as planned or projected.
Just to get rid of the NAs because there really are dates now, with you, which is good.
Yep.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Eric. Homer?
I had a couple questions. On table 1 on page 18, the likely outcomes for the WRF reclamation facility. Could you expand upon that in a lot greater detail? I think it's my understanding that there's some issues with the construction contract if work is not started by October 31st. And there may be some increased costs associated with that. So maybe more of a detailed update on these permitting issues and things, considering we're 12 business days away from October 31st.
Sure. So I can first address the contract itself. So the contract allows for the design-build team to come to the city and ask to negotiate in good faith a change to the contract value if, one, the city does not issue a construction notice to proceed within 12 months of the signing of the original design notice to proceed. So that was what you were speaking to. The contract also allows for the design build team to come back earlier and ask for the city to relook at the contract if the key inflationary index that we use to track these projects, it's Engineering News Record, if it increases more than 3% in less than the 12 months. So say something were to happen, back in June and escalation skyrocketed and cost had gone up 4% since the city signed the agreement with the design builder in October, the contract would have allowed the design builder to at least come to the city and say, listen, escalation has gone up 4% in the last 7 months. Per the contract, we need to sit down and discuss any possible changes to the value in the GMP. So if we don't meet the construction date by late October, then that would allow the design build team to come back and ask for a change in the contract value based on escalation or other things. It's a good faith negotiation. There's nothing in the contract that says if we miss this date, then the contract value is going to go up by X. So what it allows them to do is to come back and have that discussion.
Could you expand on the difficulties or challenges you're having with the permitting agencies and what you think the outcome of that's going to be in relationship to the 31st of October?
So the permitting challenges are really associated with some of the additional consultation work that's required because of the federal dollars the city's going to be taking from WIFIA and through SRF as well. It's a state revolving fund, but those dollars have federal cross-cutters tied to them. So that process requires a lot of extensive consultation with I'll just name a couple of the agencies. One is the State Historic Preservation Office, which is a very lengthy, complicated process that we're wrapping up here very shortly, in which we have to get them to sign off. It's a Section 106 consultation. We also had to go through consultation with National Marine Fisheries Services, U.S. Fish and Wildlife, and we are trying to resolve some recent issues that that have been brought to our attention with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife on some of the endangered species that they've identified. They've asked for some additional information just as early as late last week, and we are going to be providing them that information. And by providing that information to them, hopefully we will not have to take it to the next step of a more lengthy consultation effort, and we'll be able to close the book on that. And that's really the last environmental item that we need to get through, and we're going to be putting together a response to them. We're currently putting together a response to them, and hopefully that will get to them by the end of this week.
So I guess the question is, are you better than 50% that it'll get done by the 31st, all of the above?
It's going to be difficult to be able to meet the schedule, the October schedule. And we are starting discussions internally with the city and starting discussions with the design build team about what the impacts could be. We don't know what those impacts are going to be, but we are starting those discussions because we do have some challenges as it relates to some of these agencies.
Thank you. I have a couple more questions. Are the construction management costs included in the general project numbers, or are they baked into the WRF construction budget?
So if you take a look at Table 2, which is on page 4 of the report, the construction management costs are included in the individual line items, so the water reclamation facility, conveyance facilities, and recycled water facilities. So it's not included. The construction management and construction oversight effort is not included in the general program line item.
My last question is really for Ms. Calloway. Reimbursements. How is that progressing?
It's progressing, but not as fast as I would like in order to maintain our cash flows. I mean, the only loan agreement we have at this point is the SRF planning loan. So those take about 3 months after you submit to get the reimbursements.
Right. But has the city been able to accumulate all of the prior invoices and get them bundled and up and get them sent to wherever SRF is located?
We've pulled them all out of storage since I think it's 2015 was when the agreement was signed and when we can start, you know, ask for reimbursements dating back to. So we've pulled them out of storage and we've been going through and categorizing each one into the proper category that we can be reimbursed for so we can get those submitted. So example, MKN is one invoice with multiple different components to it and subs underneath that, and we have to go through and categorize each one into the SRF reimbursement category that we were allowed for. And then, you know, copy all those, submit those in packages, and send them up to the state. So we're working through all of that.
With everything on your table, though, I mean, it's a lot of money involved. Would it make any sense to hire an office temp to give you a hand with some of that?
We've talked about some staff internally that maybe can come over from Public Works and help do that. And I've even talked about maybe some of the people that we have on contract already for the project. We're getting through it, but we need to expedite it quicker.
Did I overhear you say that you're only going back to 2016?
15.
15?
Not sure the exact date in 15, but that was when the agreement was signed.
So the 13 and 14 money is just...
That's my understanding, is we can't submit anything prior to when we executed the contract.
Okay. And the last thing I want to mention is just a housekeeping item. In the general overview, you talk about starting the conveyance street pipeline and lift pump station construction in July of 2020. If I'm not mistaken, and this, I could be wrong, Mr. Leivick can correct me, but I believe the city council, a previous city council, maybe 8 or 9 years ago, passed a resolution that there would be any street construction in the summer. Summer months prior for tourism. And if that really is true, probably the current city council needs to amend it or something.
Thank you, Mr. Staff.
Rob Leivick, Public Works Director. There were a series of resolutions regarding construction in the downtown, construction in the Embarcadero during summertime. A more recent council rescinded those ordinances and requested that we use common sense to when we construct, so we know when things are busy and we shouldn't be working. Thank you.
That answers the question. Thank you.
I will add to that, and I don't want to get too technical here, But one of the things that we have discussed is not doing construction in along Quintana, where business could be impacted between Labor Day and Harbor Fest. So while we're going to issue notice to proceed at that point in time, we have a construction schedule and construction constraints that will allow us to avoid that area during that time period. So there's a number of things that we're looking at in terms of allowing the contractor to start in multiple locations. They also will have the two lift stations as something that they can start working on as well. But we are going to be putting constraints around them to avoid construction in that section.
I'm assuming you meant Memorial Day, not Labor Day, right?
I did mean, I'm sorry, Memorial Day, yeah.
Thanks. About that, September. Go ahead, John, comments?
Eric, on table six, just for clarification, the $1.4 million of city costs, that is a component of the total $126 million project cost?
That's correct, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks. Dave?
Homer's questions pretty much addressed my concerns somewhat. My two principal concerns are, when is this notice to proceed going to be issued? What are the challenges to that? And then the financing. So starting with the financing first, I heard that we're close to closing on the WIFIA loan. How close are we to closing on the WIFIA loan?
We are very close. One of the things that we needed to do was to get the final rating from the S&P, which we just received. So that was one of the things that we needed to do. Trying to think what else we need to do before the loan.
We have to have a second rating that we're in the process of getting that as well. And that's it from the finance side, I think.
Yeah, we've been going back and forth with them for many months, us and the city attorney, to get that loan agreement and all the terms and everything else finalized. So that will be, in a matter of weeks, that will be signed for about half of the project cost. And then the second loan in grant mixture will be with SRF. Right now we're thinking, based on our conversations with them, that that's probably going to take about another 6 months, roughly. It's about a nine-month process from when they published the intended use plan, and they essentially told us in July, congratulations, you're going to get funded in the next fiscal year. So we've been working with them on the environmental piece, which we've accelerated because of our relationship and where we are with WIFIA. I'm hoping that that happens in faster than 6 months. Obviously, we want to strike while the iron's hot in terms of where rates are and everything else. But 6 months, I think, is a good number based on where we are currently in the process.
And then on the notice to proceed, as I understand it, the principal challenges for that is the SHPO agreement, finalizing that, and meeting all the requirements of the Coastal Commission, the outstanding requirements to get the CDP. You also mentioned closing on the property. Will a notice, let's say you satisfy the CDP requirements and the SHPO agreement requirements, can the notice to proceed be issued prior to closing on the property?
I want to answer that. I'm going to let Rob answer that question if we can't answer that question. We're in the middle of the negotiation, so I don't want to make sure that I don't say anything I'm not supposed to.
Both property owners agreed for access during the escrow period. So, yes.
So the notice to proceed can be issued, but the actual groundbreaking, the actual start of work would have to take place after the city actually owns the property, I would assume.
No, just after the purchase agreements are signed. So as Rob mentioned, we've negotiated that with both the property owners. I wanted to make sure that that was something that we could share. So yeah, we don't have to wait for the close of escrow. We do have terms in there regarding the maximum length of the escrow period, but it's essentially once we have those purchase agreements signed, we can access the property.
So what are the risks associated with the design-build contract and the design-build contractor? You mentioned that they can negotiate a price increase in good faith if the notice to proceed doesn't get issued in October, if I'm understanding that correctly. How much of a risk is that? Because it seems to me that we're handing them leverage to actually to request price increases that, you know, and is that going to blow the $126 million maximum budget?
We are, again, I mentioned we're starting discussions with them, and it's the way that the contract is written in order to provide them it has to do with the time value of money, essentially, and when they signed the DB agreement, it came along with that, the anticipation that they would start and end construction before a certain date. So as that start date pushes out, they're already pushing the schedule pretty aggressively in their base contract in terms of the actual construction duration. So that end date just pushes out, and so that's what they've got in the contract, and we negotiated with them in the contract to give them the ability to come back and ask for additional money, really to do with the escalation costs.
And I don't disagree with that. There's been conditions that have been beyond their control, conditions that have been beyond the city's control, including pushing out the hearing for the Coastal Commission to get the CDP approved by the commission. Obviously, that extended the schedule. But I guess I'm just concerned about the possibility of these price increases. I'm concerned about exceeding that $126 million budget. And I guess anything that could be done to get that notice to proceed issued in October, I would hope can happen, if at all possible.
We're working every angle at this point. It is you make a good point. There were some things around the coastal development permit that have made it difficult with the decision to push out that hearing. And then all of these things that are currently really holding up this environmental process that I keep talking about. I'm not talking about the CEQA process that we got through last year and the addendum that we got through the last couple of months. With this federal money comes a number of different hoops that you have to jump through, and all these different consultations and everything else we wouldn't be doing if we weren't taking the low interest money from EPA and SRF.
That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave.
Would just add on that, you know, internally we're meeting regularly to discuss where we're at and if we can meet that time frame. Definitely have some challenges, but we're doing everything possible to try to meet that, and hopefully we will. But there are something, you know, challenges that we just have to try to overcome.
Understood.
One quick thing back to I was opening up some things as we were talking, Mr. Alexander. To your point, the expenditures for fiscal year 12-13 are about $28,000. So you were concerned about the reimbursement of the planning loan, and so just to put it into perspective, the expenditures for fiscal year 12-13 were about $28,000, and fiscal year 13-14 were about $268,000. And then that goes to about $550,000 in 14-15. So in terms of what would be eligible for SRF reimbursement, it's the vast majority of the roughly $13 million that's been spent to date.
No, but that was – 13-14 was a challenge. It was a difficult year for everybody. You might as well get paid for it. That's all. That's the reason I ask.
Thank you. Bart, do you have any comments, questions?
I do.
All right.
First, I'd like, there's a follow-up questions that came up that I'd like to leave for my clarification before I get into some of the comments I wanted to make. There was a discussion, Eric, you gave on the escalation provision that if it exceeded 3% over the year, then they could come back. Why did you bring that up? I mean, we're basically through 12 months. So has the engineering index been more than 3?
No, I think I checked it through through August or through September. It was about 2 to 2.2%. I think that was through September.
Okay, so that aspect, I'm not sure why
that didn't trigger. I just wanted to be clear.
Okay, you brought that in, but it's a moot point.
Yeah, the only thing is that it has been misquoted in the past that if we go more than 12 months, then it automatically increases 3%, which is I wanted to make sure I brought that up because that has been something that's been quoted and misinterpreted in the past.
Okay. Well, okay. Wasn't aware of that, whoever was saying that. Support to Jen. You haven't asked for it. Cash flow is unbelievably important, as is the loans themselves, has been pointed out. In fact, people ran for city council based on getting that. There's a lot of work, I suspect, in getting the money, managing the cash. And we're talking minor dollars here to have somebody, part-time or whomever, do that. I would have recommended we do that, but I think you need to ask for that help. I would personally support that because I think it's so important, but I think it's got to be your call on if you want to ask for that. As far as these loans, you may not know, but Jen, is the city council willing to start the project without both loans in place? Do we need both loans in place? Because everything was rosy when you went through your presentation. In fact, 0.98% on performance, and we probably are going to start next Tuesday breaking ground, and then sort of backed off that upon questioning. But are we willing to start this project without these loans in place? And I heard one of them potentially might be out further. And what is a planning loan? How does that relate to the $105 million?
So I'm not aware that there's, at this point, been conversations about if we would proceed without the WIFIA document, loan agreement signed or not. The assumption in the rate study has always been we would have WIFIA and alternatively bond financing, because we knew we wouldn't have SRF. The SRF would take longer to get through that process. So for the rate study, we didn't assume that. We know we've been pledged SRF money. I believe we would start construction without having that loan agreement signed. My preference, obviously, would be to start construction after receiving a WIFIA loan and having that signed. From a cash flow perspective, WIFIA is a much easier process to reimburse. First of all, their current project costs, they're not the planning anymore, so it's not pulling out invoices and going through those. They're much more accessible. It's a three-week, approximately, reimbursement period, so that helps from a cash flow perspective. The SRF planning loan is in addition to, I believe, the $105 million that SRF pledged us earlier this summer, and it rolls into whatever we ultimately sign as an SRF loan agreement. So that $10.3 million loan will roll into, let's say we signed an agreement for $105 million. It would roll into that and be $118 million.
Okay. And the planning loan is what?
The planning loan was...
That's the one that we've got.
That's one that we've got. We've started drawdowns on that, but and limited.
How much is it?
$10.3 million.
Okay. All right.
So getting those reimbursements in and having that cash start to flow back to the city is an integral part of that cash flow for the process.
Okay. And my colleagues here basically touched on it, but I'd like to point out that up until this report, the page that talked about key accomplishments and critical challenges had only mentioned the Vistra PG&E property. That was like the whole thing. That is the only item that had been mentioned up until this report. This report, and it's been pointed out, basically says, for example, the likely outcomes, the words you use in your report, the likely outcome is a failure to issue NP in October could result in increases to design build guaranteed maximum price. Further delays in the start of construction could impact the startup of WRF and delay compliance with time schedule order. Delayed receipt of the easements could complicate or delay construction of the conveyance facilities. Without expediting the schedule, the completion of the injection wells will be delayed. So we went to those concerns overnight, quite frankly, from where we had been. You expressed a very high possibility that next Tuesday we could start when you were asked the question if that was possible. You qualified that a little bit when people pointed these things out, but basically you said there is a possibility that we could start October 22nd, which is a three-month slip. I would also like to point to the cost curve. I understand that the cost curve basically says for $3.4 million to be recorded in September, October, November, that means that the work that led to that was at least the month before. Let's say it was the month before, and then you actually get the invoices and record the costs. So that means for $3.4 million to be recorded in September, we would have done substantial work, much more than just engineering costs or project management costs. And that applies now. So now we're in October. So the November cost, it implies that there was substantial work in October. Well, we sit here and we know that didn't happen either. So there's certainly our representative left. So I'm not sure, you know, what's going to get to the city council. But there's certainly, in my mind, when you look at the information presented and with what you've said, there appears to have, between last month and this month, there's a lot more concern. And I think my colleagues here are kind of sensing the same thing. Relative to the cost, this is what I did for a living. It's very difficult for me to provide almost any analysis with the way you've summarized the data, other than when we say what's in there for Corolla. Before, it was looking like $7.3 million. Do you know what amount is in the $125 million for the assumed Corolla cost?
When looking at, this is an exercise that we just went through recently, and it's something that will be presented when we bring our amendment to council. It's somewhere around about $9.5 million when you take into account some of the things that have been added to the project and some of the things that that changed in terms of the makeup specifically of the team based on when we signed our original agreement. Now, obviously, we've talked about this before. The value in our agreement is estimated at $7.7 million. We're authorized on an annual basis, but that's something that we will be talking about when we have our subsequent amendments come to council.
The question I asked was, what number is in the 125 for Corolla cost? Is it $9.5 million?
Approximately $9.5 million. I don't have the exact number.
When the number before that we could gather was $7.3 million, I think you've gone up $2 million from that. And if we go back to the original baseline, it's even less. So how did we get what was the offset to the $2 million of Corolla cost, such that the estimate went from 126 to 125 when Corolla costs by themselves went up $2 million? What were the offsetting issues?
Sure. So those costs really haven't changed since the development of the baseline budget. So as I mentioned, the $7.7 million was developed before the baseline budget of $126 million was developed. Then when the $126 million budget was developed, it included the cost for Corolla, and it also included a substantial cost for the previous program management team that was assumed to continue to stay engaged in the project. And we've absorbed John Rickenbach as a subconsultant to us. So when I talk about Corolla, it's a lot more than just Corolla. It's other subconsultants that we've absorbed since that time. And then we also had a significant amount of work that was going to be performed throughout the program by MKN. Obviously, MKN decided not to continue work on the project, and so that's something that's rolled into this program management budget. And then we've also had a couple of things in terms of we can get into a discussion on construction management effort and when these projects have started to kind of move apart in terms of the recycled water facilities and the conveyance facilities. That budget is exceeded, and then we've also put in quite a bit more money, and we're carrying these are all projections at this point. that make up the $125-126 million budget. But we've got quite a bit more in there for public outreach as well, based on a lot of the work that we've been doing for the business owners on Quintana that we know that we're going to have to be doing during construction. So that's kind of the source of the roughly, if you want to call it, $2 million from the change from April of 2018 when the agreement was, the estimate for the agreement was put together and today.
Okay. Again, unfortunately, our representatives left. But since we can't see the detail of the numbers, there's no trend system that's been established. We can't track anything. There was a $1.8 million of scope changes for the Fill-In-Ink contract you gave us, but there was $1 million change for going over next to the highway there. I forget what it was called. There's been several changes. Here's a $2 million change, but yet the estimate doesn't change. Let me move on.
Wait a minute.
I want to comment on that too. Go ahead, Homer.
I just want to clarify something here. Did you just say that the Carrillo contact was 9.5, your estimate for general project?
That's the total estimate right now for general program management fees.
Okay. And am I not mistaken, but the Nunley Rickenbach pre-Carrillo was $5 million?
That was not their total cost. That was the total general program cost.
Okay.
I could give you.
They had some consulting costs in there.
Okay.
Well, yeah, there was at least close to a million for the.
There was eight or nine, biologists and landsayers. Mm-hmm. So it was $5 million or something like that, right?
The total program as of May of 2018. So the total cost that had been expended to date, and that included city cost as well in that $5 million was $5 million.
So 9.5 and 5 is 14.5.
Mm-hmm.
And currently in the numbers that we're just looking at, it's 11 something. So are we anticipating that when your revised contract comes up, you're going to be asking for a $3 million increase?
No. So when I'm talking about the Carrillo, that's not just general program. That also includes construction management, to your point earlier. So when I'm talking about – so Carrillo is general program and construction management. And so the $11 million includes $5 million of cost from up until May of 2018, and then the rest of the general program cost through the remainder of the program, and then embedded in within the WRF line item – conveyance facilities and recycled water facilities are also estimates for construction management.
All
of that rolls up.
Some portion of the 9.5 is elsewhere.
Correct.
Okay.
The current estimates for the total program, everything that we're talking about, are all included in the 125.1 that we're talking about.
And that was to my point, too, and I was looking at the 9.4 as more maybe 7.5%. What I was going to ask you is on these huge, large, long-term infrastructure projects, what do you typically see in other contracts in terms of program management? I suspect it's around that number or higher.
That's about what we see in terms of, the $5 million typically, we wouldn't anticipate such a heavy spend early on to get to where we were when we came on board in May of 2018. There were some things that needed to be done in there in terms of the facility planning.
Mm-hmm.
A good chunk of the environmental was wrapped up in there. So when you take the $5 million into account, it's maybe a little bit heavy, but it's not out of line. And the construction management is, again, when we come to council with our amendments, all that information will be presented in terms of what that looks like.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead, Bart.
Okay, so the person that's negotiating for the money says it's in line, just so we understand. I sprung this on you 3 months ago, I guess, as far as the city budget. I still believe that it would be a good... It's more than an exercise, I think, to reconcile the Carrillo estimate with the city budget. Both numbers are about $125-126 million. But, for example, the city budget for the lift station has $3.3 million. The estimate that you have is $5.5 million. I realize I think there's another $2 million contingency to get it there. So, Jan, where is that $2 million contingency in your budget? Is it there? Okay.
I have to pull up the budget book.
Okay. there's no line item to me that would have been contingency. So that's something to think about. Also, are these construction loans during construction interest-free?
No, we accrue interest during construction, but that's wrapped up into the cost of the loan. For example, trying to remember the numbers off the top of my head, the WIFIA loan number that was used in the rate study and is looking like the final loan terms. The value of that loan is about $67 million, but it's paying for $60 million worth of capital. So of the 126, $60 million of that is being paid for by the WIFIA loan. But when you look at the WIFIA loan, the city's going to sign a WIFIA loan for somewhere around, this is round numbers, $67 or $68
million. So what is the amount of interest accrued during construction to these loans, approximately? $500,000?
Well, it's based on a percentage.
Yeah, it's whatever
something
the interest
like
rate is.
$500,000 to a million. Where is that number in either your estimate or Jen's estimate?
That is included.
It's a capital cost.
It's in the rate study, yeah.
No, where is it in your budget? Is it there? I sense it's not there, personally. I think you've omitted a $500,000 to $1 million construction interest cost that should be in there for capitalized. And yes, the loan pays that off. I understand that. But I don't see the interest cost. I also do not see the startup labor cost for city employees when they start the plant. In other words, I realize there may be an offsetting thing where the labor cost for running the current plant may go down, but that is a construction cost, just like the electricity is. And I don't see that either in your estimates. I don't see it in Jen's estimate. And since we have no detail on the Corello estimate, we have literally no visibility on that. I can't even comment. But on Jen's, I don't see it. And there are line items. So those are just a few of the items where I can actually look at the numbers here. There's, quite frankly, the $1 million for electricity seems high. So I don't know what that's based on. I wouldn't have thought maybe there's an awful lot of power that's used during startup. But if you look at the line items there, there's $3 to $4 million of city cost that don't seem to include the construction interest or the startup labor costs. So we brought this up before, and you've had 3 months to look at that. So last time you said, when I asked if $7.3 million was the cost for Corello, the answer was yes. And now it's $9.5 that you're saying was there. And I have a lot of concerns about the estimates, and I think correlating the Corollo estimate with the city budget would be something worthwhile. And then my last comment, generally cost and schedule go together, so when you baseline a budget, you would baseline the schedule as well, so because they go together. Those cash flow curves basically represent a schedule again. So the September, October, November $3.4 million forecast assumptions should comport to actual scheduled activities that represent rather substantial work, and we haven't started yet for two of those months. I don't know what gets passed on to the city council. Again, neither rep is here at this point, so possibly they're listening on television or will rewatch. But I'm hoping that they actively pursue and ask questions of you at the city council meeting. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for the comments, duly noted. Once again, we're trying to keep our role. We've asked for some more definitization of the role of CFAC and the level of detail required, and I know that's in process with the City Council Ad Hoc Committee, And I also know Ms. McPherson did indicate she would not be able to stay due to a prior commitment for the entire meeting. I know she will hear all of our recommendations. Jennifer, do you have any comments or anything?
No, I was just going to say that anything that you want shared with the council should be put in a motion, and then if that's approved, we'll include that in the staff report. That's what we discussed at the last meeting.
I have a couple suggestions for a motion.
Okay. Let's hear them.
Are you making suggestions or are you making a motion just for ease of...
Okay, to read a motion but call it a draft?
We'll try it.
These are very general.
Okay, Bill wrote something up. I thought you were going to present. Okay, all right.
Okay, the first one is that the discussion regarding the challenges relating to the notice to proceed be expanded in the presentation to the City Council.
I like that. This is just a general discussion, and you can formally make that motion, but...
Bart's thinking, or not thinking, or...
That clearly means to be... How it's worded, I'm indifferent to.
Okay. Dave? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Then I'll make the motion. The discussion regarding the challenges related to the notice to proceed be expanded in the presentation to the City Council at their next meeting.
Okay, can you repeat that slowly to ensure that the clerk has it?
You want me to repeat it? The discussion regarding the challenges relating to the notice to proceed be expanded in the presentation to the City Council at their October 22nd meeting.
Yeah, I think that would depend, Homer, if it's on the agenda for the 22nd, presumably.
It is on the agenda.
Okay. Thank you for checking that.
If I'm not mistaken, Barbara, we're first on these quarterly reports and our... And then they're at the next meeting?
Okay. I just want to make sure it's on there. Thank you.
Here's my second one.
You have a formal motion. Do we have a second to that motion?
Yeah, I'll second it.
Okay, thank you, Bill. So you get that, Homer's motion. Bill seconded that. All right, is there any discussion on that among the members?
Just to sort of accentuate that, I think that captures a lot of... Mm-hmm. what we were talking in that one statement. So I think that, I mean, a whole bunch of things goes into that concern. So I think addressing the way Homer did it, he did a nice job.
I think it's very well stated. Okay. So if we're ready to vote on it, may we all in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? All right. That motion carries 6-0. Thank you, Homer. Homer, did you have another suggestion?
Yes,
that we
a
may
suggestion
want to discuss?
For discussion to follow up on Bart's comments. CFAC recommends that at the mid-year budget review, the WRF capital budget be adjusted to reflect the current Carrillo budget. Should I add the word city, Bart?
Well... If what you're getting is they need to be correlated.
We've talked about this before.
They need to be correlated. So Jen needs to sit down with the controls manager and go through the estimate. And I'm not sure which one you – Bill and I have had this argument. Yeah. You know, which one do you reformat in which way?
Yeah,
but as long as there we understand – where the city numbers are in the Carrillo estimate or where the Carrillo numbers are in the city budget, I'm indifferent.
Should I use the word in sync instead of adjusted?
Well, yeah, I think you need to reconcile the budgets.
Reconcile?
We started talking about this summer, and Jen, you said that you'd be able to do this. You'd reconcile the your numbers with the numbers that Corolla has. I mean, the numbers in the budget that was put out this summer, and Corolla numbers, and they're all sort of there, but some things may be missing, and they're in different categories, like construction costs aren't listed and things like that. So, Jen, maybe you could comment. What should we say?
I think the clarification of which format you find more useful would be helpful. It is something you've asked for. It's something I think we are okay with providing to you. Not to be flippant about it, but in the course of our priorities, my first priority is getting reimbursements in, managing cash flow. I'm not trying to put this on the back burner, but we've had we had a number of public records requests that I have to respond to, Eric has to respond to. So we hear you. I don't disagree that it's a bad idea. And if you can provide any clarity, we'll try to get it done for the next report. Maybe Eric wants to add on to that.
Notice I said mid-year.
Correct. I did catch that, and I appreciated that.
Yeah, and I don't think we have any problem reconciling our budget to the city's budget format, because I mean, we actually tag all of the line items in my budget with the city codes. We've updated all of that information, and we do a monthly. We take the monthly expenditures from the city in the city's budget format and bring those into ours. So our actual expenditures on a monthly basis are, one, the actual cost that the city incurred, and then, as we've discussed before, our contract costs that have been spent are real time versus what the city has, and because they're not necessarily what's been paid, it's what's been encumbered, essentially. So once an invoice is approved, received and approved, in my budget tracking, I consider that as that money has left the door and that money's been paid. So we're already coordinating, and I don't think that there's any issue with us melding our budget into the city's budget format. We've got the information to do that.
And if it's helpful, we can certainly provide the budget performance report that's a printout right from our finance system for this project. And that's what you saw maybe before we started issuing. We issued that at one point for the committee. Because our budget page in the book has our account numbers on there. That matches exactly with what's in our system, unless there's been a new account added for whatever, tracking purposes.
John, go ahead.
Yeah, Jennifer, I appreciate your cooperation with this, but I think one thing that should be pointed out is that we're not really talking about the city's budget under this item. We're talking about the quarterly WRF report. So in as much as that is the issue, we shouldn't be making recommendations on a different issue.
And my concern would be the resources required to do this. Once again, we have the Measure Q, we have the auditors coming in, we have all these other reports and RFIs. So that's where it's a prioritization. I'm not sure I would support that motion, or should it even be in this agenda item?
Well, I think the concern is we just don't have the visibility. One of the things that would be easy to do, and Corolla could do this, instead of spreading Corolla costs across the three different phases of the project, just have a separate piece, which is program costs, and have Corolla and the other contractor costs all lumped together, which is the way it is in the city's budget. That at least you'd have the visibility now if Corolla costs go up as we're talking. There's no visibility to that. It would be an easy thing to make. One thing I did want to compliment Corolla on the effort that they have. 40% of the businesses on Quintana have had one-on-one sit-downs to talk about. I would like to recommend that they accelerate that, certainly prior to the signing of a contract, which is due to happen this late spring, to talk to 100% of the businesses there, and be nice to get some feedback on the things that can be done. And I guess you are talking to the city on the feedback that you get from all of those visits.
Bill, yeah. Point of order, again, that's not a financial issue. So it's something that this committee shouldn't be really making recommendations on?
Well, of course it is, because if the recommendation that comes out of talking to the businesses, they need to reroute the line, you know, then it's going
but that's still a technical cost, right? And schedule that should probably go to WRFCAC before this. And to your point, Bill, that we don't get that visibility, I see here in Table 3.4, we do see the Corolla Engineers' actual expenditures to date. Net. That's why I'm concerned about continuing all
that's
of us asking
to,
for more and more detail.
No,
in a
that's just
form.
To date. What is the cost to, at complete? I mean, that's just the current
total
cost.
Contracted cost. Okay, yeah. All right.
And the
but
other
we
piece.
Are getting visibility.
Yeah.
I'd like to go back to the these
the motion or
the motion
recommendation.
And I understand that Bill and Bart have concern about some of the detailed line items. My concern is really not so much that. My concern is you've got two official documents that, with the exception of the very bottom line, and they currently, you know, they're close. They're not in sync necessarily with each other. And there's a lot of people paying attention to this. If somebody grabs the wrong document, you know, so even though it's technically not on our agenda, it is a finance issue. And it is something that I think is appropriate to update when the city goes through its normal process of updating its expenses and revenue for the first 6 months of the year.
I'm gonna jump in.
Please do.
If you don't mind. I think the recommendation related to the agendized item is what budget tracking format you want in the Corolla report, and that is a recommendation you can make that we would share with the council on Tuesday. So if, for example, you would like the quarterly report that you received to have a budget presented in a format that matches the city's budget format, that could be your recommendation. With respect to updating the city, keep in mind that the city's adopted budget was done several months ago. So when we do our first quarter report, we would come back. We typically focus on the general fund. We started to include some of the enterprise funds, I think, during the mid-year. And I think that's where Mr. Martin's referring. That's a different conversation and a different topic that's not agendized. I think for this purpose, you're talking about what you want to see in the quarterly reports, and you want to make any recommendations to the council on that.
Okay, I'll drop it.
I'll drop it too, but I just want to go back to say I gave some very explicit examples of things that seem to be amiss. Two items that I believe are not in the budget. When I brought up this city budget last time, and I mentioned the example of the million for electricity, this was a shock to Mr. Caceres. He had not seen this page. So I am, you know, there are some specific things. For example, the 3.3 million here, is there a contingency in some of the line? It doesn't make, I don't know where it would logically be in this number that adds up to 125 million. The 3.3 is the base number, roughly, the base number of that injection. So we can move on, but I think I provided some reasons why this would be valuable.
Hopefully this could be incorporated in the 2021 budget process. The idea that the two would be in sync.
So for the what to share with the council with respect to the quarterly report, we have one motion on one motion that was approved by the committee to expand on the challenges related to the notice to proceed. Is there anything else that you would like to make a motion on and take a vote on with respect to the quarterly report?
Yeah, one thing in the quarterly report on tables 21 and 23, which are the recycle facilities schedule and the conveyance facilities schedule, all of the dates in there are NAs, but yet there are actual dates listed on the expanded schedule that was provided. So I would move that the CFAC moves that the WRF report September 2019 be accepted after the following changes made. Insert the planned dates for conveyance facilities and recycled water facilities summaries, tables 21 and 23, replacing the NAs, which are currently shown. Did you capture that, Tracy? Not quite. Insert the plan dates for conveyance facilities and recycled water facilities summaries, tables 21 and 23, replacing the NAs, which are currently shown. But the important part is we move that we accept, that the council accept the report after those changes are made.
Is there a second to that motion?
Did you say tables 21 and 23?
Yes.
There's a table 21 and 22. I don't see a table 23. Am I missing something?
This one? Yeah.
22.
Yeah, 23 is right below
23
it.
Is right below it.
Yeah. Page 38 and 40.
I'm not seeing it on my copy, but that's all right.
It starts right here. It's kind of squished
together.
Yeah,
it's squished together. Just look at the bottom.
Yeah.
It's 20, table 23 is all the NAs.
Oh, see, you guys, are, you high-tech guys, it's, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
I second the motion.
Eric, question, is that fairly easy to do, what they've asked? I'm asking Eric.
It shouldn't be a problem at all. Those dates are represented in another place. The 21 and 23, mm-hmm. the dates were, it is anticipated that those would be actual dates. I'm just going to footnote those as being planned dates for now. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thanks. Sorry, Bill, didn't mean to interrupt you. It's always easy if you don't have to do it and someone else has to do it. But, okay, thanks, Eric, for confirming that. All right, any other discussion on that motion? All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? All right, motion carried. Was it, Bart, did you say aye too? I didn't hear you. Okay, 6-0. Did you get that clearly, the motion?
Another discussion item is the rate study. I'm not sure if it has started as yet, but will the CFAC get to look at what the inputs are for the rate study as well as what the results are before it gets presented to council?
I think he's talking about the, do we have Bartles and Wells or somebody in here revising the rate or providing any advice to council?
We have Bartle Wells, sorry, on contract right now and have had discussions with them. They did some updates for us to submit to S&P to get our final indicative bond rating, but they haven't done anything in terms of updating rate costs. That's not actually the agendized item. That's what caught me off guard.
Yeah. Won't you have to wait till you get the loan agreements and get the interest rates fixed first?
Right, we wouldn't do exactly. So we made a few adjustments based on what interest rates are currently and added, you know, a few basis points to that. But it's all in draft form right now because we don't know what we're signing at this point.
But that would be the plan, that the CFAC would look at the inputs to the rate study before you.
Well, we're not quite there yet, I guess. Was that what you were saying?
It's a future item. We're not allowed to talk about anything.
No, we are alive. Yeah, right. As soon as we get to that item, are we finished with the business items? Okay, so now we're on. Thanks. That's all right. C4, future agenda items. And we've already discussed we'll have Measure Q.
So for the next meeting, you'll have the first quarter investment report, first quarter budget report for 19-20, 18-19 year-end Measure Q, and we'll give you an update on the CAFR and where we are with that, and maybe discuss how you want to proceed with reviewing that this year. I know the timeline's tight, as it was last year, so if you would like a subcommittee or something like that, we'll have that conversation.
Will the FY19 end-of-the-year report include the budget performance report for the entire city?
I was just going to bring Measure Q at this point, and then we do the year end for the whole city when we have the CAFR finalized. I was planning on only doing 18-19 for Measure Q.
Right. I mean, but is it possible to get a hold of the budget performance report for?
Oh, just the printout, like you had.
Yeah, except like we had a last meeting for the general fund. except this time for the entire city?
Sure.
And, you know, just
if the committee wants to do that, if that's...
I mean, just get it electronically? Is there anything, it's not confidential, is it?
No, it's not confidential.
Well, if they don't want it, can I have it?
Does everybody in the committee want to see that? Let's start with that.
I would, too, except realize that it's unbudgeted. It's
unaudited.
Unaudited, I mean.
Right.
Unaudited, yeah.
That's correct. We can include it. Do you want it as a agendized item or just part of, like, the distribution?
I would say whenever you you're going to present something for the full year, correct, ending numbers sooner or later?
That we present when we have the finalized CAFR. So you'll see the CAFR draft in December and provide comments, and then in January-ish, February, you'll receive the final CAFR.
I wouldn't mind if that was a separate agenda item in November. I mean, all she has to do is just PDF it and attach it, and we can... I mean, that could even be a consent item as far as I'm concerned.
Okay. Well, if the rest of the members want to see that, sure. And that fits in with our review of finance, so that covers the whole fiscal year.
Just to clarify, do you want all the funds, general fund? Yes, to all the funds?
Yeah.
Okay.
How many hundred of pages is that going to be?
It's about 50 or 60.
Okay. I think it's going to range between 50 and 70. We'll see where we land. I haven't ran it in full yet.
All right. Is everybody in agreement on that on the agenda, future agenda? Okay.
And Jennifer, you will have done the year-end budget adjustments in that document before we get it?
Yeah. By the time our November meeting is here, I'll probably run it right before we issue the staff report, so it'll have any entries that we've made, you know, with the auditors here or anything like that. It would be the most up-to-date.
And as far as the council approved budget amendments for 18-19?
Yes.
It'll have all of those?
Yes.
Okay.
At our last CFAC meeting, when we made recommendations to the role of CFAC, we recommended to the ad hoc committee that it include CFAC reviewing all contracts and amendments to contracts that are in excess of $1 million. The amendment to the Corolla contract is over $2 million, and it has yet to be presented to the City Council. I expect it's going to be presented at the early November meeting, I understand, probably before we would look at it. But it would be certainly nice if that amendment could be modified to include what the cost to complete is, because I doubt if that's in there. The last version of the amendment did not have that, but I think that would be helpful for the City Council to know. Amendment 2 is going to be an additional $2.3 million or whatever the number is, but the total Corolla estimate to complete would be X. That way we would get it as well.
Mm-hmm. I asked our council liaison for status on that today, and I know it's going through the process. The ad hoc committee, I got the sense they're pretty much finished. There were recommendations from all the other boards, and I also had some recommendations, procedural things, and then that she did indicate it has to go get on the council agenda. I think they're having maybe even an extra council meeting because they've got so much on the agenda coming up. I'm not sure of that, but it will get on there and get back. And so I don't really want to rock that boat and change it and send it back to a committee, but you can certainly send that comment on. Sure.
Yeah, the reason that's not here is that the committee hasn't concluded their work and council made a final determination on that recommendation. But the ad hoc council ad hoc committee is aware of this committee's recommendation to look at those contracts.
Right, right. And also we had in there about the start time too.
Correct.
You know, so it hasn't fallen off. It's just work in process. It's going to take some time. Yeah. Okay, so I think we have a pretty full agenda then for November. Is there anything else? Okay. Any closing comments? All right. Thank you all. I'll adjourn the meeting 5:05.